So last Sunday, the sermon ended in an awkward place. Kind of felt unfinished, uncomfortable, unresolved. And that wasn't an accident. It was an intentional acknowledgement of where we sometimes find ourselves in life. The sermon ending tried to mirror the energy and experience of the psalm that we read. Now, if you didn't catch last week, I invite you to watch the service or the sermon on the website. We used Psalm 88, and Psalm 88 is just raw with emotion, and it doesn't have a happy ending like every other psalm does, which is why it was a little awkward, if not uncomfortable, to preach on. I mean, the number one rule in preaching class was offer them hope. In fact, that was the litmus test for every sermon. When we were in class and someone would preach their practice sermon, we were all asked afterwards, where was the hope? And we all had to name where we'd heard it. Though the interesting thing for me was that for far too long, I equated hope to resolution and comfort, that things had to come to a nice ending for there to be hope. But what I've come to realize is that life can be unsettled, and sometimes our greatest hope, the greatest hope we can hear spoken, is that we're not alone in the difficult place. We don't have to be told, and see, everything's going to work out fine. Sometimes just having someone honestly say, yeah, this is tough, and I am here. Those are the best words to hear. Sometimes I am here is easier to connect with than, oh, it'll get better. Oh, man, that just bristles me sometimes when you're trying to share where you are and how life is hitting you, and someone just says, oh, it'll get better. Why, thank you. Thank you for not validating my experiences. So hear me again. If you are in a difficult place, if you are weary or worn, if you are frustrated or fed up, if you are exhausted or just numb, you are not alone. And it's not just my company or the company of the congregation that I'm offering to you, though we are here. There are moments in life when it seems all we can do is just wait. And while we wait, God waits with us. In fact, even in those times we feel distance from God's presence in love, even in those times where God's grace and compassion just don't feel real, God is still waiting with us. God is waiting for us. That's the reality that Psalm 88 ended with. It ended with that hard, dark phrase, my only friend is darkness seen. I mean, that's a pretty rough ending to a scripture. And sometimes when life does feel dark, all we can do is wait. Now, today's psalm, Psalm 40, kind of picks up where Psalm 88 left off. Now, I know they're not in numerical order. I'm not implying they were somehow tied together. But I feel they're thematically related. Psalm 40 also talks about this difficulty and picks up in that my only friend is darkness kind of a place and lifts out of it. I want you to hear the words of Psalm 40. Now, usually, we have one of our youth read the scripture. But today, as we wrap up this month-long series on the Psalms, I thought it would be special to experience one of the Psalms like they were originally intended. The Psalms were set to music. They were sung in worship. Much like the way we begin worship, you know, we read a little and then we sing some and we read a little and we sing some, except the whole thing was sung. Can you imagine singing every word of that scripture back and forth responsively? And so we had that. We've been doing the Psalter throughout the month, but Monica was willing to do us one better and offer us the hymn setting, a musical setting for the scripture today. Now, the music she's going to be using for Psalm 40 is not its original musical setting. That was sadly lost to time. The musical setting she's going to use isn't even a Jewish setting, though the Psalms still are sung in synagogues and temples to this very day. But the musical setting she's going to use might be one you know. You see, in 1983, a little Irish band set the words of Psalm 40 to music. And I hope that you enjoy it.
Wait patiently for the Lord, incline and move.
I love watching a couple of you who recognize it going, did he just call you two a little Irish band? Yes. Yes, I did. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and heard my cry. We know not how long the author waited, nor do we know how patient they actually were. But my heart resonates deeply with that repeated cry. How long to sing this song? I feel that. How long is one of the most honest questions there is in the midst of suffering. How long? How long to sing this song? But though we do not know how long, we do know that the Lord has heard the cry. For though Psalm 88 ends with darkness as their only friend, in Psalm 40, light begins to dawn. It does so slowly, because we hear the author still finds themselves in the muck and the mire. This is a deep mess they are in. And yet from those depths and the distress, God has heard their cry. And though it is not instantaneous, we are lifted up and out of the muck and the mire and placed upon the rock. Now, having once been stuck in mud up to my waist, I can tell you with authority, getting pulled out of such a situation and placed on the solid ground is not actually the end of the situation. There's actually a lot of work yet to come. There's a hosing down, there's a rinsing off, there's changing, there's washing, there's finding your shoe that got sucked off inside the puddle of mud. None of that actually, though, can happen until you're lifted out. The lifting out is a part of that process. And that is the hope that begins our psalm. Not that everything is fine, but that we are in the process of being brought back. Our waiting has not been in vain, and we will be lifted up. And as we begin to settle, we are given a gift. We are given a new song to sing. You know, the last year and a half, it's been tough, right? It's been tough even for those of us who have been rather comfortable in life. And then for others, it's been beyond devastating for those who don't know the comfort some of us do. And wherever you are on that spectrum, can we just name that there is a general fatigue that has set in. Right? I don't respond to things as vibrantly as I used to. Last year for Christmas, my wife Megan made ornaments for family and close friends. She got little ornaments and she printed out a little picture of a flaming dumpster, labeled it 2020, and put it inside the little picture frame. And she gave it to everyone to hang on their Christmas trees. I mean, it certainly was a dumpster fire of a year, wasn't it? Well, on my social media feed this week, I saw a pre-order for an Etsy store that is selling new ornaments for this year. It's a 2020 dumpster fire being lowered into a dumpster that reads 2021. And the tagline read, "Same trashy year, different dumpster." Well, that checks out. That doesn't feel like being lifted up out of the muck and the mire. I don't want to carry last year's flaming mess into my tomorrow. I'm done with that song and dance. I want a new song to sing. And that's the invitation of Psalm 40. To not just take last year's trashy mess and bring it into this year and put a new number on it, but to leave what was behind us and to find a new song to sing. God has placed a new song in my mouth, the psalmist writes. Now, lest you think I'm abandoning my commitment to sit with you in the difficult realities of life, lest you think I'm about to go all Mary, sunshine, Pollyanna on you, I want to share some of the later verses of our psalm with you. Though they've been lifted out of the muck and the mire, though a new song has been placed in the heart, the psalmist still writes, "Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me, for my troubles are without number. There are so many that surround me. It feels like my mistakes, my shortcomings have overtaken me, and I cannot see." This difficulty and frustration is after the new song has been given. This is after the feet have been placed on the rock. You see, like I said, getting pulled up out of the mud doesn't mean everything is easy going afterwards. But I tell you, I would be very grateful to be singing a new song while I work my way through whatever challenges are to come. You know, the psalm doesn't tell us what the new song is beyond a hymn of praise. But if it's anything like the psalms themselves, the praise carries with it history and reality and honesty and an acknowledgement of the hardships of life. That new song can carry authenticity and integrity with it. The song can acknowledge that hope is delicate. The song can carry with it a melody that reflects faith can sometimes be cautious. We need a new song. We cannot keep singing the songs of what has been. I don't just want to take that old song and put it in a new dumpster. Is anyone else tired of singing the old song? Weren't we just crying out, asking how long we'd have to sing it? Now, yes, the old song is far easier to sing, isn't it? It's much easier to keep singing a song we know. I picked a brand new hymn none of you had ever sung to sing before the sermon for a reason. Mildly uncomfortable, isn't it? I don't know, couldn't we have just sung Amazing Grace? I know that one. But this new song had something to tell us. And even though we were finding our way through it and weren't settled in yet, we were listening a little bit more closely than we usually do. The new song invites us into that space to accept the challenge and grow. Too often, though we're stuck in the mud and the mire of what used to be, we are still stuck in the mindset of that time, and the old song at least feels comfortable. But the scripture today invites us to find a new song. We need a song that will invite us into something new. A song that, while recognizing where we have come from, tells us there is something new out there. And so that is our prayer. That is what we cry out for. That God's love and grace would fill our hearts and our minds with something new. That we would not only be recipients of a change of circumstances, but a change of the melody we carry in our heart. That we would hear in our hearts and feel deeply in our souls a rhythm of grace and a tune of hope. And that as we begin to learn and sing that new song, that we would continue to listen to the voices around us. For we are not alone in the new song that we sing. Yes, each of our new songs will be uniquely ours. But it's my prayer we might let them harmonize together in a chorus of community. Amen.